If you're believing that the king is coming, if you believe the king is coming, I want you to sing it, and I want you to really sing it one more time. And if you don't believe he's coming, oh, all of you believe he's going to come now and then. But you know, they've been thinking a long time. And for hundreds of years, they've been saying, eventually Jews going back, when they go back, that's the end. But hundreds of years passed by, but they all expected the Lord to come quick. Since I pastored the church, they did, though, they went back. Knowledge has increased since I went back. Listen, everything is setting right now. Everything is setting right ready for the end to begin to wind up. And if you don't see, it's because you're blind and you're dead. If you don't see the conditions, knowing the time that now is, not guessing at it. You don't have to go, what time is it? As a Christian, you don't say, what time is it? Bless your heart, your soul tells you that he that shall come, he will come. We're not going through the darkest, but brother, it's about ready to plunge in upon the world. The die is set right now in the east, and little by little, one will fuss and the other one will hit and the other one will blow off and this thing here. And God's spirit said it's a spirit that gets into the kings of the whole earth to gather them to battle. And that spirit is getting into the hearts of people. When you saw on your television this last week, 500,000 people, and the 500,000 people were kids, were mothers, old men and young men. They had their fists up. They were shaking them. They were ready to go. They were ready to fight. America, what had we done? Nothing. But they were ready to fight. And it went over to show the other part of another kingdom. And they had about 3 million people, as far as you could see, miles and miles and miles. Nothing. I don't see how they could breathe. It looked like 3 million people. And the people were there marching. They were in defiance to the... They had invaded Mecca. The east is boiling. Brother, they've looked forward. We've had all kind of wars, but it's now come to the east. But just before it happens, there's going to be a blast of a trumpet. And Jesus said, as it were in the days of Noah, the earth is not going to know it. They're not going to know till the flood came and took them all away. They didn't know when the flood came until it took them all away. So will it be when the coming of the Son of Man be. They'll not know. But you're not children of night. He said, you're children of day. You're awake. You've got your eyes open. You're looking at what's happening. When you see these things come to pass, look up and lift your eyes. It's not a time to get comfortable. It's not a time to get at ease. It's a time to be on the alert. It's time to be ready that any minute the trumpet could blow. It could take place tonight before this service is over. The coming of Jesus could take place. There's some that'll not go. You're not prayed up. You have things in your life. You're too rooted. Too many things that are weighting you down. You couldn't take off. God help your miserable soul if you miss the rapture. Brother, God's give us warning after warning. He's not going to deviate. He's not going to take you in because you come a long time. It's whether you're ready. He didn't say get ready. He said be ye also ready. Be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. If we was expecting Jesus to come and us land up there, start having the marriage supper before long, and just a very short time mount a white steed and come back to this earth as kings to dictate over this earth, brother, and we is preparing and putting the finishing touches to it, this place ought to went up in a shout while ago. I say everyone here expecting it, you should have gone up in a shout. That our attitude toward what we're singing, if we don't watch, lest coming suddenly, I find you sleeping. He's not talking about laying down at night when you go to bed and snore. That's good. He wants you to have that kind of sleep. But he said, lest coming suddenly, I find you sleeping. How many believe it could be possible that some people have gone to sleep spiritually? Gone to sleep spiritually. If you have, say, oh God, wake me up tonight. If I have gone to sleep, you say, but if I'd gone to sleep, I'd have known it. Oh, no, no, no. When you go to sleep, you don't know it. You think everybody else is wrong if they even look at you wrong, but you're all right. There's nothing wrong with you, but you can go to sleep by neglecting things you should do, and when you go to sleep, you don't know it. I said, when you go to sleep, you don't know it. the church, and I'm gonna let you be seated right away. The church that he spoke to, he said, "You're asleep." And he said, "You don't know your condition." He said, "You say you're rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. You attend the church regularly, put your money in. You go to the altars when they tell you to. You raise your hand when they tell you to. And you think you have need of nothing." This is exactly what Jesus said to the church right there in John's day. If the early church could reach that state, how many believe that it is possible in the land and day in which we're living in today, with so much evil and sin on every side, there is a possibility that individuals can reach that same state today? He said, "You say we are rich and are increased with goods and have need of nothing. And thou knowest not." You don't even know your condition. But I'm going to write and send it to you and tell you your condition. You say we have need of nothing. Rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. But he said, "You're poor." You're not rich. "And you're miserable, and you're blind, and you're naked. And I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire." But he said, "You don't even know that you're poor, miserable, wretched, and miserable, and blind, and naked. You are, but you don't know it." Now, how many believe if we don't stay prayed up, you can get in a place, while I go to church, I pay my tithe, I sit down, I stand up, I raise my hand, I go through a form, a dead form. You can be just exactly. Now, God didn't accuse him of a lot of things, but he said, "You say you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." Spiritually, you're not where you should be. How many believe that Jesus didn't lie? He told the truth about that church. He said, "There's a few there." He said, "There's a few that's going to walk with me in white because they're worthy." But the majority of the church is in the condition that I'm telling you about. How many believe that it could be possible in these last days that you come to this church and there could be some here that's going to walk with him in white? But suppose that plight should have happened to you. I hope not. I said, I hope not. If you're stirred about it. Now, he didn't say the jig is up. There's nothing I can do. You're in a bad shape. You're poor, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. You'll just have to go to hell. No, he didn't do it. He said, "I want you to remember. I want you to take heed to what I've said. And I want you to repent. I want you to repent." And then when he told them to repent and to get a hold of God and let God give them eyes that they could see and anoint their eyes with God's eye salve that they might see. Could it be possible that some of us are going blind spiritually to what's happening on every side of us? How many believe it ought to stir us more than it does? Could it be that something's wrong with our eyes? Could it be that we need the gold tried in the fire? Oh, and he said, "And let me give you white raiment." That's the robe of righteousness. "That your body will be clothed and the shame of your nakedness does not appear. With me, I look down and you're naked. You need clothes upon." These were Pentecostal people that spoke in tongues and was in the environment of all the gifts in operation. It was a church that Paul the Apostle had established. It had been pastored by the best men of his hour, but while in the very sound of God's trumpets going out from the pulpit, they went to sleep and reached a state that they were poor, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. How many believe that in the light of that, Jesus said, "I want these words are true. Write it and send that message to them." How many believe that we need to take stock? We need to search our heart. Do you know what? There's enough people, members of this Gospel Lighthouse Church, if they are where they should be, this place would be packed out up there. Not a room up there, not a seat down here. And it's Sunday night, it's God's night. You know what a lot of them are doing? They may not be committing great sins, but they're taking these. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And you know what? You know how they got that way staying out? Just like individuals like you, one by one, they let it slip upon them. And they get in that shape. We're going to sing that one more time. He's coming. Ask God when you do. I want you to ask God, "Lord, if I'm asleep, wake me up. If I'm asleep, wake me up." How many tonight, if you are asleep spiritually, you want God to wake you up? Let me see your hand. I'm doing my best to ring a bell right now. I said, I'm doing my best to ring a bell right now. I'm asking you, could it be possible that you're sleeping just a little? Let's sing that chorus again. Somebody said, I'm getting tired standing. They stood back there because they're hungry all day. Never sit down all day. I haven't kept you standing very long. And if you get real tired, sit down. The rest of them keep standing. But we're going to stand. We're going to sing this right here. And I want everyone to sing it. Oh, the King is coming. Oh, the King. When he's coming, well, I can hear the trumpet sounding. And now his face is seen.
Zion, and know not the hour in which the conditions of things point so vividly, then awaken, arouse thyself, and be not as Samson of old, who toyed with the power that had been given him to redeem and release a people from bondage. And he thought that he'd shake himself as at other times, and wist not that the Spirit had departed from him. But take heed unto thyself, and let the Lord thy God speak to thy soul. Be alert, be vigilant, be wakeful, be watchful. Behold, the Lord thy God is coming for a people who are prepared and not slumbering.
If we'd all go to heaven and you follow me, all of us go to heaven and we'll come up right before the throne. And I'll walk up to God and I'll say, God, we just got a message in tongues and interpretation down there just about a minute ago. Who was that give that message? The Father would say, my son here. Jesus gave that message? Yeah. He just gave the message that you heard in the Gospel Lighthouse Church. With stammering lips and with another tongue. Well, I, God, speak to my people. God speaking. Not man. Not a president. Not a dictator. God. For all this, they will not hear me. Pass by. You know, it's just as real as if you'd been up there looking and reach over and pick up a mic and start talking. And then you'd come back down here and he uses his children as loudspeakers, as mouthpiece, with the oracle of God. And Jesus himself said, when I go to heaven, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost and he'll come and get in you. And when he comes, he's not going to speak of himself. But whatever he hears, he'll speak and he'll show you things to come. And he says to the Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicean church, he says to all seven, he that hath an ear. You say, everybody's got one of them. Yeah, everyone's got one of them, but they don't have ears. If you have a spiritual ear, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. What did the Spirit just get through saying? In a nutshell, everything that I've been telling you since I've been up here. Be alert, wake up, be alert, be stirred. And he mentioned Samson. God gave him power, Holy Ghost power. Lift a great big gate of the city. The two big gates, each one weighed maybe a dozen tons each. And they were set in concrete. And he reached down under the anointing and lifted them up and jerked them out of their sockets. Raised them up and balanced them and put them on his shoulder. And didn't walk downhill. He walked up a hill on top of a mountain and set them down. Take a little tiny jawbone of an ass 8 inches long and slay 1,000 men and have 1,000 men piled up. And then he sat over there and said, Lord, I wished I had some water. And God said, how about me giving you a little fountain of water through that jawbone of that ass that you just got through using? And he said, well, I'm thirsty. I'd like to have it. And all of a boom, here come the water up. And Samson drank water as it spurted out of the jawbone of an ass, because he is dealing with a God that could deal with the odds. With the odds. Brother, God is a match for your odds. But oh, brother, like it said the other day, a spider web is a wall when God's on your side. But a wall is only a spider web when we don't have God. If ever there's a time we need to be stirred, we need to be alert, we need to wake up. And as he said, not toy with the power that he gave Samson to deliver his people. And he toyed with it. He toyed with it. And he reached a place that he went out and he hoped. He says that he wished that the spirit had not departed. And as he shook himself, he just shook himself this time. But before, the world feared him. No one would dare come near him. He had such great power. And it wasn't any size. He was a normal size person. They came upon him as helpless as he could be, and they put out his eyes. First thing they did is put out their eyes. That's the first thing the devil does to you when he gets you in his hand. He knows that if you see with those eyes God give you, you're going to hit the altar. And when you come at night, no matter how late you come, you're going to hit that altar back there and get down on your knees and pray a little bit like you always used to. You're going to get down and pray and touch God for the service and for God to anoint you. But little by little, we can leave those things out. But let me tell you, when we have that anointing, and that anointing is abiding in us for the purpose of delivering. And when he had grieved God and it left, it said they put out his eyes. You know, there's a lot of things you don't see. A lot of things that used to stir you don't stir you no more. A lot of things you used to hear, it used to awaken you. But now you can sit there, clear your voice, wonder who's going to sing tonight. We may not have a song of no kind. There comes a time when God wants your attention. There comes a time when God wants your attention. And when they put out his eyes, how many believe that you can give yourself over to the flesh and you can begin to neglect? God said, how shall we escape if we neglect? That doesn't mean the sinner neglecting salvation. It means we as Christians neglecting the spiritual things of God. And the first thing the enemy did was put out his eyes. And then they turned him over to a little boy. Just a little boy with his little socks on. And not a man, not a grown man, just a little boy. And they put a rope around him. And the little boy led the strong man that picked up the big, huge gates. Why? They'd found his secret place. He toyed with the power that God gave him to deliver others. How many believe God's talking or trying to talk to everyone here tonight? Trying to talk. You know what God wants in this service tonight? He wants every person in this building. When you go out of here, he wants you to be scripturally in the condition that God wants you to be and Jesus paid that you might be. They were filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. There come a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. It filled the place where they were sitting. And there came unto them cloven tongues as a fire, and it set upon each of them. They all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. That was the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to heaven. When I get there, I'm going to pray the Father, and He'll send it. Stay in the upper room. Don't leave. Stay. Send it, because I will send it. It'll be my Spirit. I'll send the Spirit. Said, He's with you now. He's with you, but He's not in you. He is not in you. But we need Him in us, in the church. I'm going to set up a church. It's going to function, and it needs just like this. If you have all the appliance, you need electricity. You're out of fix. If your radio won't work, your telephone won't work, and your ice box won't work, and your stove won't work, and none of the things you got will work. Even up in your dressing room, when you go to shave, or when you massage, or when you dry your hair, or whatever you do, if the fuse has blowed, your electricity is out, brother, you are handicapped. God gave birth to a church, and He intended for that church to be filled with the Holy Ghost. God's not pleased with a person in this building, if you're sitting here, anything shorter than being filled with the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, they were filled. The promise, He said, is to you and your children, to them that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Jesus said, if you believe on me as the Scripture said, not as the preacher said, or not as some preachers say, but as the Scripture said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Thus spake He of the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on Him should receive. Who receives it? If you believe on Jesus, which they that believe on Him should receive. That you can't in no way sit back and say, well, I'm a believer in Christ, but I don't have the Holy Ghost, and I think I can make it without it. Wait a minute. He said, which they that believe on Him should receive. What did John say? He said, I baptize with water, but there comes another one after me, mightier than I. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That is, some of you. He said, there will be a few here and there in the church and down through the ages. But I baptize water, but He shall baptize, scattered few here and there with the Holy Ghost. No, He didn't say that. I baptize with water, and my water is for everybody. I'm inviting everyone to come. And I baptize with water, but He shall baptize you with the what? With the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, I'm afraid of it. Don't know how to go about it. Listen, God didn't tell you whether you're afraid about it. Listen, you get into many things you need to be afraid of if you don't have the Holy Spirit. You need to be afraid if you don't receive it. You need the Holy Ghost to go across the street. And on the day of Pentecost, they went up there and said, what you here for? Said, we're here to receive the Holy Spirit. What? What's that? God said, this is the covenant I'll make with my people. And in that day, I'm going to give them a new heart and a new spirit. And then I'm going to take away their old heart. And then I will take my spirit. Read it. I just got through reading it. 36th chapter of Ezekiel. Then I will take my spirit and I will put it in them. My spirit in them. Not with them, but in them. Jesus said, after 800 years after that statement was made, 700, after 700 years after that statement was made, that God was going to make that covenant with Israel, in that day He would give them a new spirit. That's the new birth. And then He puts the Holy Ghost in us. And then He said to Joel, it'll come to pass, saith God, that God will pour out His uncle's spirit. No, He will pour out His spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters will prophesy because they have God's Spirit inside of them. And when they went to the upper room, they were expecting Joel's prophecy to unfold. And when it did unfold and they began to talk in tongues and they were full of the Holy Ghost, Peter stood up being filled with the Holy Ghost. And as he was filled, he said, they're not drunk on wine as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. It'll come to pass, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. It come to pass. Jesus told him at the great day of the feast, it would come to pass. He said, go in the upper room and tarry. I'm going to go to the Father and pray Him. It will come. And on the day of Pentecost, it did come. He said, it's not only for us, it's for you and your children. But we crucified Christ. We cried away with Him. That's all right. If you repent and be baptized, you can receive receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and your children, to them that are afar off. Then he said to his disciples, I want you to do something for me. I'm going to anoint every one of you, and I want you to go into all the world, and the preachers are made by your preaching to them, and it will go to the end of the world. I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. These signs are going to follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. There's only one way a human being speaks with new tongues, and that is to have God's Spirit, the Holy Ghost, inside as a person, taking hold of your vocal cords, controlling your whole being, and speaking languages through your lips. Somebody said, I don't know how to receive it, and so I haven't got it yet. Well, now, isn't that sad? You don't have to know how to speak. It's the Holy Ghost that does the speaking. All God wants you is to believe what He said, and to have fear not to do what He said. And when they received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, 8 days, 7 or 8 days later, could have been closer, but not over that, they threatened to kill them, put them in jail if they preached and prayed for the sick anymore. And so they reported that if Peter and the rest of them was found preaching the gospel, they'd be put in jail and they'd take their life, they'd kill them. And they came back and reported to the congregation. I'm talking about you, the congregation now. They reported it to the Pentecostal people. And it said they all gathered together in a prayer meeting. And they prayed and they said, Lord, behold the threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with power and with signs that miracles may be done in the name of thy holy Jesus. Stretch forth thy hand, O God, to prove the power of thy resurrection, whom they crucified before Pontius Pilate. But now, Lord, give thy servants power that we may preach the word of God with boldness. And it said the place began to shake. And the place where they were assembled together began to shake, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist said they'd be filled with the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, if you believe or believer on me, you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. And they went down to Samaria and preached Christ, and they were all saved, but they were not filled. Oh, none of them was filled. He called Peter and said, Peter, they're not straightened out right yet. Pray for them. And he prayed for them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul took out up the upper coast of Ephesus, preached Christ, and he said, brethren, have you received the Holy Ghost? Do you have Him in you? We don't even know whether He be given yet or not. Well, what did John say? He said, I baptize with water, but another one shall baptize you. Yeah, but we didn't know whether it has happened. Well, it has. It's been poured out. And it said, do you want it? Said, yes, sir, we're ready. They lined up. And as he lined them up, he laid his hands on them and said, Father, fill them with the Holy Ghost. Now all at once began to speak in tongues, every one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues. Saul was coming down, breathing out threatenings and killing people and committing them to prison and punishing them and forcing them to try to deny Jesus by a terrible punishment. And God blocked him down there and said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He saw the light as the noonday sun. He heard a voice from heaven. He fell to the earth as though he'd been struck with lightning. When he opened his eyes, he couldn't see. And he said, what do you want me to do? He said, go to the street called Straight. I got a man there that can come to you, and I can give him your address and tell him where you are. He went to the street called Straight, and God reached over and said, Ananias. He said, what you doing? He said, I'm just having a prayer meeting. He said, I want you to go over to the street called Straight and find Saul. And I want you to lay your hands on him. He's a chosen vessel. He's praying now. But Lord, haven't you heard of the great evil he's doing? Just a minute, Ananias. Behold, Saul prays. And he's in a corner blind. He can't see. He's already had a vision. He's had a vision of a man by the name of Ananias coming in and laying his hands upon him that he might receive his eyesight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Mean, ornery Saul being filled with the Holy Ghost. And so he's waiting for you. He got up and went over there and walked in, opened the door, looked over in the corner, and there he sat, blind as a bat. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus that appeared to thee in the way, what a means of communication. Had he gone out of business? Was the thing about ready to fold up? He was sitting on the throne pushing buttons, brother, and talking to Saul and stopping him, speaking to Ananias, telling him to come over. When he laid his hands on him, he didn't do it before or after. When he laid his hands on him, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, the same God, the same Christ, is just as great. And he said, you take this gospel and don't change change it. Don't water it down. Preach it to the end of the world. These signs shall follow. They'll cast out devils and talk with new tongues. Brother, we haven't come to the end yet. I'm preaching the Holy Ghost. Every one of you ought to be filled. If you don't speak in tongues, you ought to be. And if you're not, if you need a refilling, you ought to get the refilling right tonight. Stand to your feet together. Stand to your feet together. I want every person in this building that wants the Holy Ghost, I want you to come to the front rail and stand as close as you can. If you want a refilling, I want you to come along here with them. And I want God's people here that are saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you have it. I'm not preaching to you because you have it. I want you to be the first one to run. Why? Because you've got a drive in you. You've got a hunger in you. You've got a desire to pray for people. You want a desire to see people get a hold of God. Tonight, God spoke to me before I ever come to this church, and I said, Lord, what kind of a message you want? He said, I want people to get the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm going to ask you, I didn't tell her, but did I tell you that? Did I say anything about the Lord giving me a message on the Holy Ghost? Not one word. When that message is given, was that the core of the whole message? Toying with the power that I put within you. What was that power? It was the Holy Ghost. Come on, out of the balcony. Come on, out down here. If you don't have the Holy Ghost now, I want you to come up here. You know whether you have the Holy Ghost. It's the enduing of power. You know whether you have the Holy Ghost. If you do not have it, come up. They were refilled with the Holy Ghost a few days after. You may have had it once, but it's not there now. You need a refill. You need a refill. I want you to move out. Now those that are staying back, you know yourself, you're filled. You wouldn't dare turn the message that came from heaven down. You wouldn't turn the message that God gave me without a song, without an announcement or anything else. God's laid this on my heart. You wouldn't dare turn it down because you know it came from heaven. So you don't need to come. You have the Holy Ghost. And if you have it, one hunger you have a hunger to get other people through to the same experience you have. I want you to start moving out from where you are. Come behind these, and I want you to come as close as you can, and I want you to pray for God's glory to come. Come on, those that need the Holy Spirit. If you're here and you're not saved, you can move forward. Come, God can save you tonight. I want you to come. Those that have the Holy Spirit, I want you to come. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, it's for you tonight. Why tarriest thou? God wants you to come. I want us to begin to pray for these to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to really pray. Not just in a ritual form. Let's come forward, lift our hands, and let's pray for God to give us all a refilling tonight. Would you do it? Oh, would you do it tonight? Lord, breathe upon us. Give us a refilling tonight. Come on, friend. Come on. That's right. You don't have to be a member of the church. Feel free. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God tells us to shake ourselves. He tells us to awake. Oh, God, give me the refilling. Will you do it? Lord, give me the refilling. God wants you filled with the Spirit. He wants you filled with the Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. You can grieve Him by not wanting Him to come in and take possession. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, let God fill you. Let God fill you tonight. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your power, Lord. Begin to praise God. Let God fill you with the Holy Ghost tonight. Let Him fill you with the Holy Ghost tonight. Oh, yes, Jesus. Fill with the Holy Ghost tonight. Oko Shaka. Oko Ibro Shahaha. Worship Him right now. Let your lips begin to praise Him right now. Glory under the Basaka. Oko Shahaha. Let it go. Glory. 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 a hand of someone next to you. And I want you to pray and say, God, fill my brother with that blessed Holy Spirit. And I want you, every one of you, while you're praying for him or her, he's going to be praying for you. You say, Brother Hibbard, you reckon it'll be all right? I reckon it will not be all right if you don't do it. He says, be not drunk on wine wherein is excess, but be filled. But be filled. Nothing shorter. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now let me tell you how you feel when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't care what anybody thinks. You say, but you don't know my nature. I know it. But when the Holy Ghost comes in, he takes that old nature that you wouldn't believe I do. And you know what you'll do? You say, I'm afraid I'll do something that I don't want to do. That's just the one thing you will not do. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, everything you're doing, it's something you want to do, and you're doing it. And you don't have any man fear. Thank God. If you want to walk up to someone tomorrow and say, Brother, look, we're living in troublous times, and we got a church out there. The brother's telling you what time God's time is. He's reading God's time clock. Would you like to come out and visit it? And he may look at you kind of funny and say, well, you act like you really mean it. You know, the sinner, he doesn't make fun of people that's hip. He doesn't make fun of people that's got the fire of God in their heart and filled with the Holy Ghost. They'll make fun of people that are claiming to have something they don't have it. But when you've got it in your life and he can feel it, brother, he'll respect what you've got. He would to God he had it. And I want us to just believe God. I want you to take hold of someone, and I want you to pray for God to fill them. And God said, and if you have the Holy Ghost already and you're praying for him, maybe he doesn't have quite a refilling, and you're asking God to fill him. And he said, you say you reckon he's willing to give it to us. He said, if your earthly parents know how to give good gifts, if your earthly parents know how to give good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give them the Holy Ghost that ask him? How much more will your heavenly Father? He didn't say the great dreadful God of heaven. He said your heavenly Father. How much more will he give you the Holy Ghost that ask him? If your earthly parents know how to give good gifts, the Holy Ghost is a gift. How much more will your heavenly Father give them the Holy Spirit that ask him? You've got to say, God, I want it. I want it. I need it. I need it every day. I need it in my spirit. I need it in my life. I need it to be ready. I need it to let God's Spirit flow through my life like it ought to. I want you to start praying that while they're singing, while they're playing. God bless them. We're blessed praying. God bless them. While they're praying, I want you to just go ahead and now, Lord, we pray. We pray that you'll fill individuals with the Holy Ghost tonight. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. Do it. Let the Holy Spirit come as waves over this place. Oh, hallelujah. Anoint them to pray. Anoint them to believe. Anoint them, Jesus, to believe. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Fill it up.
are still praising God. I want every person in this building, if you have an affliction in your body, if you're suffering or half sick, feel weak, run down, I want you to raise your hand to God right now as I pray with the atmosphere of the Holy Ghost chair. We're going to ask, said the Spirit of God was present to heal. Brother Hibbert don't heal, it's the Spirit of God. Raise your hand and ask God to heal your body. Tell Him right out what you want Him to do for you. Come on, Father. We pray to let the Holy Ghost move upon this audience tonight and manifest your healing power. Loose individuals from the power of sickness. On the cross your Son paid for it. By whose stripes you were healed. And by faith we look up now. And in the name of Jesus, release those that have suffering, have pain in their body. Touch and heal them. Right now. Let them. Oh God, heal that body. For Jesus' sake.
Let the breath, yes, Jesus, of God,
oh yes,
now breathe,
oh hallelujah,
on me. Let Him breathe on me. Let Him breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me.
Oh, let Him breathe on me.
Oh, let Him breathe on me. Let the breath of God now.
Just a minute. God's been here and He's answered prayer. It's now 7 o'clock. We go from 6 to 8. We're half through. I'm through. And I'm going to tell you, God's done something for everyone's come up. Don't you let the devil, the slick, lying tongue devil, tell you that you got up out of your seat and come up here and raised your hand to the God of heaven, and He's more willing and He's more concerned about you than you ever dared to be about yourself. If your earthly parents know how to give good gifts, how much more, He said, will your heavenly Father give them the Holy Spirit? Now, if you don't have everything that you hope to have and you don't feel the buoyancy that you did once, don't say that He hasn't come in as a person. And if He has returned, remember this. You wake up in the morning and you find time before you eat your pancakes to feed this in here. Find a place somewhere to get alone with God and start your day in prayer. Am I right? How many believe God would have you to do it? And how many believe the Holy Ghost in here would have you to do it? You know why so many people go days without getting fed and meet God and have a time of prayer? When you get a hold of God, I want you to get a hold of God and pray. And then when you come in of an evening, make up your mind before you go to bed, no matter what time it is, you can give God just a little time and you'll sleep a whole lot better. You just slip alone and get alone with God and you take hold of God and pray and ask God to have His perfect way. Now God tonight, He's dealt with every one of us here. The Spirit of God has moved upon each one of us. The Holy Spirit has fed your heart. He's encouraged many. Everyone don't respond exactly alike, but we came up for a purpose. God laid this on my heart. Everything dovetailed right in line. Am I right? Now, what God is wanting now, He wants you to make up your mind that you're going to keep this. Now, this is what God laid on my heart to tell you before you move and go back to your seat. He brought to my mind a sermon that I preached to you about 13 years ago. I took a lady's corset, what do you call those, staves? It's a thing about this long, and it's made of, what is made of, celluloid, something?
Metal.
It's a metal, and you can take it like that and do like that, and it'll wobble back and forth. And you can bend it way back here, no matter how you bend. You turn it, flip, it'll come again, boom, 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 and stop. And so God gave me a sermon, and He said, I want you to tell them in just a nutshell right here before the seated, tell them about that. And I got up and I preached that, and I had that thing that I had a board, and I had over here the flesh, and I had a whole lot of flesh over here, and just a little flesh here, and there's a little spirit here, more spirit. From here over was the spirit, and from here over was the flesh. Now, I had a great big old board, and I had 3/4 full of flesh, all flesh, 3/4, half flesh, 1/4 flesh, and then right on up here like this. And then I had over here more and more of the spirit. And I said to him, I had this thing in the middle with a nut, and you'd unscrew the nut, you could take that little steel thing and turn it any way you want to, and wherever you'd turn it, you'd tighten it up down here, and it'd flip, 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 and stop every time at the same time. But any little pressure on this side would move it over that way. And so I said, everybody here, you know, I want you to get yourself on that board up here. Oh, yes. You're over here in the spirit. Brother, you're filled with the spirit. You just got all cylinders firing and everything's just right. Are you here? You're not in the flesh, but you're pretty close to the flesh. And when the evangelist comes in and brother, he begins to really preach and the spirit begins to move, this thing, pressure, it'll go over here. It'll go this way. It'll go over this way more and more from the flesh. And just about the time the preacher leaves out of town, it'll go flop, 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 flop. And you wind up just where you did before you came in. And there's some that's not in the spirit. They're in the flesh a little bit. And the preacher comes in, begins to preach, and oh, he blisters them, and he tells them about the coming of Jesus like I did tonight. It stirs them up, and oh, the pressure comes, and it goes over here like this, and it stays over here. And just as soon as the preacher leaves, it goes flip, 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 flip. And God said, here's the way you do it. You must take the nut loose down here and unscrew it. And you pull it way over here. You make a Holy Ghost dedication. You pull it over here, 90.0. And you screw it down tight. And then you can flip her either way you want to. If the devil gives you a pressure and it's a bad day and your wife cusses you out and tells you to iron your own shirt and everything goes wrong, it may be a little bit pressure this way, but first thing you know, it'll flip, flip, and it'll stop right back to why. You've got a dedication screwed down here that'll pull it to that place. Now, there's a lot of you, you've been screwed down at the wrong place. I want you to unloosen the screw this time, put up both hands and say, God, put that thing where you want it to be and tighten her down. And when the pressures of hell comes, I'm going to slow down. I'm going to be right back where I was when I started. Isn't that funny? The Lord told me after 13 years to tell you in a nutshell what I told him that morning at 45 minutes. I preached 4 messages already tonight and it's just 7 o'clock. How many believe God's here? Before I ever came, God said, I want him to get the Holy Ghost tonight. Everything worked that way. Isn't it funny? He wants to give you something, and then if you ask him for it, he don't want to give it to you. That'd be funny. Yeah. How many got a refilling? How many got a refilling? Put your hand up all over the place. Look at that. I wish you'd look all over the place. Look at that. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Now I'll tell you what we're going to do. I want you to, right now, how many want the, you don't want that thing fixed this way. No matter which way it goes, no matter what you, how you pray, you're going to wind up the same old thing. Be same old Tom, or same old Mary, Thursday. Why? Because down here I haven't done nothing. Pressure got me a little moved up that way, but just as soon as got out from me, wham, 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 stop. You know, it'd take a God to give you a sermon like that, and it'd sure take a God. Devil didn't have nothing to do with it. Take a God to remind you to give that again. I want you to unscrew it right now. Are you willing to do it? Does God know where that needle needs to be? When the trumpet blows, I'm going to ask you a question and look at Brother Hibbard. When the trumpet blows, where do you want it to be? Where do you want it to be when the trumpet blows? The trumpet could blow any time. And if it doesn't blow, you could go out just like that with a heart attack. And you'd sure want it to be right. I want you to, it's unscrewed now, I want you to put it right where it belongs. I want you to put it right where you want it to be, and I want you to tighten it down. And the thing that tightens that down where you're putting it is raise your hand to the Lord, and I want you to just tell God what you want him to help you do to keep that needle right where it ought to be. Put your hands up and tell him right now. Father, we come to you. And we ask you to let the Holy Ghost help every one of them. I want you to loosen that up and put it over where it ought to be. And I want you to tighten it down with a dedication. My God, they won't even have to be asked to read the Bible or pray. They'll want to do it. They'll want to do it. Jesus, we pray that you'll stir each one of their hearts. Oh God, we thank you right now. We thank you right now. For Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to turn to someone next to you and tell them you love them. And then go back to your seat. Praise God.